The Mike Lupica Podcast.
We are back now with the great Mike Lupica. He's one of the country's
most prominent
sports columnists.
Mike Lupica has covered just about every sport.
Candid interviews with legends he calls friends.
I was talking to Jordan about Woods after the basketball game the other night. Everybody in sports to be the next this guy, the next this guy. And Michael said, no, he's the first Tiger.
In your face questions.
How much of a dope is he?
Compelling.
A $1 billion industry, the biggest we've ever had in sports in this country, often comes down to a flip of the coin.
This is the Mike Lupica Podcast. Here's Mike Lupica.
Hello and thanks for joining us on the Mike Lupica Podcast. Today we will be joined by, super lawyer, Michael Avenatti. But before we get started with Michael, I want to tell you about Gillette. Every morning I use my Gillette razor and I know what I'm getting, a great shave. It's been a consistent part of my daily routine. My dad used Gillette, so there was never anything else. My Gillette Fusion Pro Shield and Fusion Gel give me the close, comfortable shave I'm looking for. And you can now get Gillette quality blades at the best value and convenience with Gillette On Demand. Your razors will get delivered straight to your door with free shipping. Check it out and subscribe to Gillette On Demand today. You'll get $5 off your first order with a special offer code LUPICA5 at checkout. Visit GilletteOnDemand.com today and be sure to use the code LUPICA5, the number 5, that's LUPICA and the number 5 at checkout. Welcome back to the Mike Lupica Podcast. We had Michael Avenatti, Stormy Daniels' lawyer, on not long ago, but all of the issues that we discussed in that podcast, they never seem to quite go away. And Michael, first of all, thanks for doing this again. And I guess the best place to start is, since we last spoke, do you believe you are closer than ever to deposing the president of the United States?
There's no question that the answer to that question is yes, especially in light of the plea last week by Michael Cohen, where he pled guilty relating to a campaign finance violation concerning the $130,000 payment to my client. That guilty plea, in connection with the facts that he has pled to or admitted to, all of that will further substantiate and provide a basis for our effort to depose the president.
When you look into, I don't want to say the immediate future, because there's no telling how this thing is going to play out, and nobody knew for sure what Cohen was going to do until he did it last week. You're firmly convinced that you can see yourself deposing this guy maybe before he ever sits for an interview with Robert Mueller.
I agree with that. I think the chances are very, very high that I will have an opportunity to depose him under oath well before he sits for any interview by Mueller. I don't believe that he'll ever voluntarily sit for an interview by Mueller.
Michael, you know, it's so funny. Over the last 6 months, you have arguably become the most famous lawyer in the United States. And I was thinking, of course, now your competition seems to be these two guys, Rudolph Giuliani and Lanny Davis. Where would you like to start with your analysis of the lawyering that each one of them has done?
Well, let me just say this, Mike. Rudy Giuliani is, I'm the second best attorney on our team. Rudy Giuliani is the first best. He is the best attorney on our team. And we really couldn't do it without him. He's been an incredible asset to us, and so I hope that he continues to go on television and give interviews and say stupid things and do harm to his client. His performance, and this is really disappointing to me, frankly, Mike, because I thought he did a fairly nice job after 9/11. I thought he showed leadership. I don't want to call myself a fan, but I had respect for Rudy Giuliani. But what I have witnessed over the last few months in connection with his alleged representation of Donald Trump is nothing short of atrocious. I mean, this guy has no business in that position. He has no business going on television and espousing all of the nonsense that he does. He's done his client considerable harm, and he's done wonders for our case and the advancement of our case. So that's what I'll say about Rudy Giuliani. I have a considerable amount of more respect for Lanny Davis. I think that Lanny's a good lawyer. I think that he made a critical mistake, though, recently relating to statements that he made that proved to be false, that really didn't need to be made. He didn't seem to be familiar enough with the facts in order to be making those statements. That was, that's critical. I mean, as you know, once you lose your credibility like that, especially on a national level, it's very, very difficult to claw it back. And I'm sure that he regrets making those statements.
We're talking to my friend Michael Avenatti on the Gillette Hotline. Michael, you have painstakingly explained over our two conversations why Michael Cohen matters, why this payment matters. And did it not strike you last week? And I've been a little off the grid over the last week, but did it not strike you that Trump admitted to what he had previously denied about these payments, and now he's going to die on the hill that, well, he says it wasn't campaign money, which is a preposterous notion?
Yeah, the president's explanation for this is ever-changing, like it is on so many other issues that come up. I mean, he has lied repeatedly. Let's call it what it is. They are lies. They're not misstatements or half-truths. They're absolute lies. He's been lying about this from the get-go. Michael Cohen was lying all the way up until last week when he finally admitted some of the facts, not all of the facts, and that's one of the reasons why we want to take his deposition. But, they say it's not the crime, it's the cover-up. And I think that in this case, it's going to be the crime and the cover-up. And the extent that these two individuals conspired to cover this up, deceive the American people, keep this information from the American people, and they've continued to do it. I mean, if you go back and you look at some of the statements by Trump, for instance, on the People's Plane, Air Force One, where he was standing in the doorway and he basically told everybody, told the American people, told the media, if you have any questions about this, you need to speak to my attorney, Michael Cohen. Well, guess what? I mean, we've now heard from Michael Cohen. We heard from Michael Cohen last week as to what happened. And now all of a sudden, Trump is telling people, well, no, he's lying. Don't talk to Michael Cohen. Don't believe Michael Cohen. It makes absolutely no sense.
Talking to Michael Avenatti on the Gillette Hotline, as we move into Labor Day weekend, the newest wrinkle in the whole Stormy Daniels, Donald Trump, Michael Avenatti drama, a motion filed on Monday in Los Angeles, and this is really the reason I wanted to get you back on, and a motion filed on Monday in Los Angeles federal court, Trump's lawyers said that Daniels, who said she had a sexual encounter with Trump 12 years ago and was threatened to keep quiet about it, had actually benefited from the attention brought to her in this dispute. And Michael, in addition, they say you and Stormy are trying to suppress this president's free speech rights.
You know, I'm rarely rendered speechless, as you know, Mike, and as your listeners know, because they've heard a lot from me over the last six months. But this truly leaves me speechless. I mean, of all the people on the face of the planet that can argue for free speech and the ability of one to speak his or her mind, this president is not one of them, especially in light of what he's done to the press, his constant abuse of the press. Just yesterday in the Oval Office in connection with the announcement of the World Cup, which he has now taken credit for, and I don't know that he had really anything to do with it, but that's not unusual for this president. But in any event, in connection with that Oval Office ceremony, you know, he takes out this red card and acts like he's going to, you know, throw that to the press, which means, you know, kick them out. I mean, he constantly threatens the press. He constantly threatens anyone that speaks out against him, and now he files this motion in federal court claiming that we're trying to suppress his free speech rights. I mean, it's absurd.
Michael, you know, the great Pete Hamill, one of the great American writers, one of the great New Yorkers, one of the great columnists, and a dear friend of mine and a mentor, has always said to me, never use irony in an underdeveloped country. And I would always say, which one is that, Pete? And he'd go, this one. Okay, so Trump would never appreciate the irony of Charles Hardin, one of his lawyers, suggesting that somehow the president, who has been the greatest opponent of a free press and the First Amendment of any president that we will ever see, is now having... I love the fact, Michael, that they use the word chill. That you're looking to chill his free speech right, because as you know, and anybody knows, unless they've been in outer space for the last 2 years, this is a president who thinks an unspoken thought is a felony.
Well, 100%, Mike. I mean, the extent that this president has gone to thwart the ability of the press to do their job, to intimidate the press, to rile people up in the United States against the press by calling the press the enemy of the people, which is outrageous. I mean, never in my lifetime did I think that the leader of the free world would be making comments to Americans trying to get people incited to rise up against the press and to distrust the press. I never thought I would see that. Again, the extent that Donald Trump goes to every day in order to avoid having the press report on what is actually going on in the highest office of the land is astounding. And it's not getting better. It's getting worse. And I am very concerned that over time, some of that is actually going to gain hold, gain traction. I think we've already started to see that in the United States. And we need a strong press. It's an absolute necessity in our democracy. The press needs to be able to report on the facts and what happens. I mean, look, we've all had things written about us that we don't like. I mean, I don't like everything that's written about me, certainly over the last 6 months. But we have to respect the institution and the role of the press in our free society. It's absolutely critical.
I was joking with Michael before we started that I was not going to call him a celebrity today because there were stories in the last couple of days about this Vogue piece about him and Stormy. And I have a feeling that a couple of years ago you didn't think you'd be sitting for Annie Leibovitz for a feature in Vogue magazine. But this is what you said, okay, to the press. Please stop calling me a celebrity. I am not one. I am an 18-year lawyer that has successfully fought on behalf of Davids versus Goliaths in complicated cases across the nation, including many involving constitutional law. I first started working on FISA issues in 1996. Michael, in that context, I have believed all along that he was going to get rid of Trump, was going to get rid of Jeff Sessions. And this was going to be his, even though it would be in broad daylight, his backdoor way of getting rid of Rod Rosenstein and getting rid of Mueller. Nothing that he has said or done has disavowed me of that notion. And I just wonder if you think that's the way this thing's going to play out as the walls of the Mueller investigation close in on him and to mix metaphors. And Mueller continues to act like a fighter cutting off the ring on Donald Trump.
I think you're absolutely right, Mike. I think that it's only a matter of time before he either fires Jeff Sessions or Jeff Sessions resigns under threat of termination. I think that the walls are closing in. The president is going to continue to get more and more desperate. And again, I think it's only a matter of time that he attempts to clean house and rid himself of this investigation and this scrutiny. I don't think he's going to have any other, he's not going to believe he has any other options in order to try to save himself.
And Michael, you talk about your background in constitutional law. I think he would rather take on a constitutional crisis like that than let Mueller finish his work. Because I think we talked about this the last time you were on the podcast, Michael. Everything that Trump knows about what actually happened, Mueller knows by now. He knows what Mueller knows, and he can't. And when he finds out that his lawyer and his chief financial officer and even the guy who owns the National Enquirer are all becoming cooperating witnesses with Robert Mueller, he has to know where this goes if Mueller is allowed to finish this deal.
I agree with that, Mike. And I'll also say this. Here is the fundamental problem, one of the fundamental problems. We elected an individual to lead this country to the highest office of the land that loves himself more than he loves this country, period. There's no question about that. Secondly, we have a Republican-controlled Congress that is controlled by members of the Republican Party that love their party over country, and therefore they're spineless as relates to keeping this guy in check presently. This creates a very, very dangerous environment. And my concern is that Donald Trump, I believe this 100%, would burn the Republic to the ground in an effort to save himself and his presidency. There is no question in my mind that if he was confronted with those two options, that he would rather burn the Republic to the ground and destroy this country because he's such a narcissist, and he loves himself so much that he would rather see that through. And that's incredibly disturbing.
We are talking to Michael Avenatti on the Mike Lubica podcast. More with Michael after this from LinkedIn. The right hire can make a huge impact on your business, but where do you find that individual? You could try posting on the job boards, but you can only be sure the right person sees your job. Instead, find the person who will help you grow your business with LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs matches people to your role based on more of who they really are, their skills, interests, and even how they open up to new opportunities. This way, your job gets seen by more of the right people. Most LinkedIn members haven't recently visited the top job boards, but 9 out of 10 members are open to new opportunities, so you can only reach them on LinkedIn. Hurry to LinkedIn.com/Lupica and get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/Lupica to get $50 off your first job post. LinkedIn.com/Lupica. Terms and conditions apply. We're talking to Michael Avenatti on the Gillette Highlight. And Michael, you just touched on something that I talk about all the time when you're not taking my airtime on MSNBC. And this can't happen. This cannot happen without a complicit and cowardly Congress. I'm sick and tired of hearing about how close Lindsey Graham was to John McCain when he is... Graham is floundering on a deck like a fish that just got caught out of the water. And this idea that the poor president has no choice but to get rid of Jeff Sessions. Michael, I sometimes wonder if Putin's got something on Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, the evolution, if you want to call it that, of Lindsey Graham over the last 18 to 24 months is truly remarkable. Because Lindsey Graham, if you remember not too long ago, Lindsey Graham appeared to be a check on the president.
Yep.
He appeared to oppose him from time to time. He appeared willing to speak out against him. And now, from all indications, he's another Trump sycophant. His comments the other day relating to Jeff Sessions were shocking because they were directly contrary to his comments, I believe, about a year ago.
Right.
relating to Jeff Sessions. But this goes hand in hand with what I said earlier, which is this is a very dangerous situation. And the Republicans in Congress appear to roll over this guy on a roll over for him on a fairly constant basis. And that's very disturbing because, as you know, they control both the House and the Senate. And depending on what happens in the midterms, hopefully the Democrats are going to at least take back the House, which will provide a check.
Michael, don't you think you talk about the things that are disturbing about this presidency are endless and too multiple, many to catalog here. But aren't you shocked as an American, how easy it has been for Trump to roll this Congress and to find out that how far you can push the powers of the presidency and how easy it is with a complicit Congress to turn this into a dictatorship?
Well, I have been, but you got to keep in mind that, and a lot of people underestimate Donald Trump, and that is a mistake. And I hear a lot of people in the Democratic Party begin to underestimate him relating to 2020, and they believe that the Democrats will naturally win back the White House in 2020. I don't believe that. I think it's going to be an incredibly difficult fight in 2020. It's going to take the right candidate, a street fighter, and if the economy holds steady, I think that's going to be a very, very difficult campaign, no matter who the nominee is, frankly. But I think the issue is that another area in which people underestimate Trump is, you know, he has a very strong base, an incredibly strong base that he has built up over the last couple of years. And that base believes in him 100%. And he uses the bully pulpit. I mean, this is a guy, I don't think he gets enough credit, frankly, for the fact that he is very good at certain things. He's very good at branding. He's incredibly good at these rallies, even though 90% of what he says is complete nonsense. He's incredibly good at these rallies. He's very good at using the bully pulpit, whether it be Twitter or traveling the country or otherwise, and that's not to be underestimated. And that's one of the reasons his stranglehold on that base and his stranglehold on the Republican Party. That's one of the reasons why these members of the House and the Senate on the Republican side don't want to cross him.
Have you thought about running as a Democrat in 2020?
I have. I mean, I've stated that. I'm seriously considering it. I've been to Iowa twice. I've been to Ohio twice. I was down in Florida, New Hampshire, California. I am seriously considering it because I'm very concerned that the party may end up nominating someone that is not capable of going toe-to-toe with this guy. He's beat 16, 17 very experienced politicians, people that had deep resumes in governing, but just didn't match up well against him. And I mean, you know, Mike, from your reporting on and experience in sports, and politics, at least at the national level, is in many ways very, it's all about the matchup.
Right.
You know, the manager will, you know, pinch hit a certain hitter against a certain pitcher or bring in a pitcher to face a certain hitter. And there's a reason for that, because certain hitters hit certain pitchers better. Certain pitchers pitch better to certain hitters. And, I mean, that's just one example. You can't just plug and play every candidate against another candidate and expect the result to be positive. You just can't do it. And so this is a very unique situation. This is a unique individual, and I think it's going to take someone that matches up well against him. And that person may not be necessarily the person that would make the best president, but it may be the person that would have the best shot of solving this dumpster fire of a presidency.
You know, it's funny, Michael, the analogy, sometimes, you know, people are constantly using sports analogies that are not appropriate to politics, but sometimes they are. And you're exactly right. Matchups are sometimes wonderful and fascinating in sports. And the example that I have always used is Ali and Frazier and Foreman. Okay. Ali and Frazier could fight three unforgettable fights. Joe Frazier, though, had no chance against George Foreman, who just humiliated him, except that Ali could beat Foreman. So it was all about matchups. And you're 100% right about Trump. And he mustn't be underestimated, because, first of all, he's already pulled off what he's pulled off. And when you look into the future, if he's not impeached, and I think that there's an awful lot of people in this country, Michael, who think that if you get impeached, that means you lose your job. No, that's not the way it works. He'd have to be thrown out of office by the Senate, and I'm not sure that would ever happen. So he's marshaling his forces. We know what's going on with gerrymandering all over this country. We know there's going to be voter suppression, and God knows what the Russians are going to do. No, he's going to be an extremely, if he finishes out this first term, he's going to be an extremely formidable candidate next time around.
I could not agree more. And I think that when I hear individuals in the Democratic Party and elsewhere talk about the fact that, yeah, Hillary Clinton only lost by 71,000 votes in these particular districts, and we had Russia interference, and this excuse and that excuse, all of which is 100% true, by the way. And I don't want to minimize any of that.
Right.
Because, for instance, I think there ought to be severe penalties associated with the Russia meddling. And if the facts and the evidence are there, I do believe that Trump should be impeached. He should be convicted in the Senate. But the problem that I have with hearing all of these excuses is that it sets up the Democratic Party for failure in 2020. It's the wrong mentality. It's like, again, going back to sports, it's like the team talking about, well, if we wouldn't have had that holding penalty where the ref blew it, or the pass interference right. call late in the fourth quarter, we would have beat him. Well, that might be true. It might not be true. And so I think that is the wrong mentality. I do think he's going to be very, very formidable. I think that he has a history of beating experienced politicians, traditional politicians. And look, Hillary Clinton was the most qualified candidate to ever seek the office of the presidency in our nation's history. I firmly believe that. There's no question about that. No one has ever been more qualified. And yet he was able to beat her. And you talk about matchups. I think that she would have likely beat anyone else in that Republican primary had they been the nominee on the Republican side. I think she would have, I think she'd be president of the United States right now. But, you know, that's not what happened. And so I'm very concerned that the Democrats are going to nominate someone very similar to the preceding 16 or 17 candidates and then expect a different result. And I mean, that's the definition of insanity.
We're talking to Michael Avenatti on the Gillette Hotline. Michael, with your background in constitutional law, let me ask you a question that seems to be one of the questions du jour lately, especially in light of what has happened with Michael Cohen. Do you believe you can indict a seated president?
Very interesting you should raise that, Mike, because I've been having this discussion with a number of people. Here's what I believe. I believe that that question should not come down to the Department of Justice memo. I think that question ultimately is going to need to be decided in the courts, and I'm going to be writing in detail on this topic here in the next week or so. I'm anticipating writing an op-ed on this exact issue because I think it's so critical. You know, Bob Mueller and I are very different lawyers. I have a lot of respect for him and his abilities. He's far more conservative in his approach than I am. That's not a shock to anyone that's been paying attention. You know, I would indict, if the facts and the evidence were there, there's little question, I would indict Donald Trump, and I'd make the courts toss it out, because that's where I think it should be decided. I do believe that you can indict a sitting president, and I think at a minimum it should be tested.
We're talking with Michael Avenatti on the Mike Lupica podcast. More with Mr. Avenatti in a minute, but first, a word from Geico. There's a quick way you could save money. Just switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about a homeowner's or renter's insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's geico.com. Talking to Michael Avenatti. Michael, I want to go back to Stormy Daniels, because it would be interesting if this woman plays the biggest part in the downfall of this president. And you're aware of this, and I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. Jill Filipovich, who wrote a column. She's the author of The H-Spot, The Feminist Pursuit of Happiness. She wrote a column in the New York Times recently called, the headline of which was, I'm sure you saw it, Stormy Daniels, Feminist Hero. And I just want to respond to you, ask you to respond to something, a paragraph in this. There is so much power in the fact that Ms. Daniels does not believe her job or her involvement with Mr. Trump or the payoff is her shame to carry. She wants him held accountable, and the justice system is actually stepping in. She is refusing to slink away despite being paid to do exactly that, in a pattern we've seen far too many times from influential men seeking to maintain their dominance and avoid responsibility. In that paragraph, does she not describe exactly what's going on here?
I think she does. And I think that, you know, it's a tribute, as it should be, to the fortitude and the courage of my client, Stormy Daniels. You know, she's sacrificed a lot by bringing this case, by allowing me to file it. She's put herself at risk. I've been placed at risk. You know, there's a lot of people that have sacrificed a lot to pursue this, but she's certainly at the top of the list. And I said this many months ago, right after we filed this case, I predicted that history was going to be very kind to her, and she would be hailed as a hero. And I think that thus far, my prediction has been spot on.
Michael, when you look at, you know, you've seen what Trump has said about how becoming a I'm paraphrasing here, but becoming a cooperating witness ought to be against the law. Well, yeah, if the guy's cooperating against you. In the next 2 months, will there be any further surprises in the nexus of Stormy Daniels, Michael Cohen, Trump and Avenatti?
There's no question there's going to be more surprises. I mean, this is a story, this is a situation that is full of constant developments and, quote, surprises, close quote, because we have a lot of facts, a lot of evidence that has yet to be disclosed that the American public does not know about yet. And I anticipate that we're in about the middle of the second quarter of a four-quarter game, to use another sports analogy.
What is who's more dangerous to Donald Trump, Michael? Just looking at it as a lawyer, who's more dangerous to Donald Trump, Manafort or Cohen?
Cohen. There's little question in my mind that it's Cohen. I mean, this is an attorney that served at the right hand of Donald Trump for 10 or 12 years, handled all of the dirty laundry that Donald Trump did not want anyone else to handle. Donald Trump entrusted his innermost secrets to a moron who was not that tough, and that's Michael Cohen. And it's going to ultimately cost him. The fact that he did not show loyalty to Michael Cohen will go down as one of the dumbest mistakes in modern political times. You know, had Donald Trump brought Michael Cohen to Washington, I mean, he could have given him, you know, a nothing job, stroked his ego a little bit, kept him in the tent. We want to be on the phone right now talking about Michael Cohen pleading. The likelihood of that is about zero. But he didn't do that because this is an individual that steps on people all the time, shows loyalty to no one with the exception of Vladimir Putin, and yet demands the utmost loyalty from everyone around him.
Talking to Michael Avenatti on the Mike Lupica podcast. Michael, would you look at the lawyering that has been done for Donald Trump, particularly by Rudy Giuliani, who sometimes acts like he was never a prosecutor, like he never worked in the Southern District, like he's the lead clown coming out of a car at the circus. What's the biggest mistake he's made?
The biggest mistake Rudy Giuliani made?
Yeah.
Well, I think the biggest mistake is coming out of retirement or wherever he was to take on Donald Trump as a client and go on television and speak to these issues. The second biggest mistake, I think, would be the interview that he gave to Sean Hannity a couple months back, where he went on Sean Hannity and completely cratered the defense that had been spewed by Trump and others about the alleged lack of knowledge concerning the $130,000 payment. And, I mean, he put an absolute bullet in that, destroyed that argument, that defense, made Trump look terrible. And that was not the forum in which, if you were going to come clean on that, that was not the forum in which that should have been done. So, I mean, there's been so many mistakes. You know, he then attacked my client's profession, basically was a misogynist, no question about that, where he said that she was not believable because of her profession, which was outrageous. I mean, the list goes on and on. I just hope that he keeps doing what he's been doing, because he's been a huge part of our success.
Michael, what do you make of the performance, the cable news, Cable America performance of Alan Dershowitz over the past several months? I said this a few months ago. Dershowitz did everything except walk up and down in front of the White House with a sandwich board that said something like, please hire me as a member of your defense team.
I don't know what has happened to Alan Dershowitz. I just don't, Mike. I mean, this is a guy that I used to idolize, look up to, respect. You know, he was an icon among the bar. He was seen as a constitutional law expert, someone that was very knowledgeable, that would call it like it was. You know, obviously he had a colorful past relating to his prior representation of various figures. But with that said, I always thought that he was cogent, could provide good arguments. He is now turned into the ultimate Trump sycophant. Every show that he goes on, he's a defender of Trump. He goes out of his way to defend Trump, even if the arguments are ridiculous. And people have really started to turn on him because I think they see him for what he is. And I don't understand it. I mean, I understand he was down at Mar-a-Lago for a while or for a couple times, and you know, I guess he got wined and dined down there. I don't get it. I don't understand why this guy is risking his legacy. It's very similar to the situation with Rudy Giuliani, both of these individuals. So they're like two peas in a pod, and I don't get it. Maybe there's something in the water down there at Mar-a-Lago. I don't know.
And Michael, what about this this recent admission, if you can call it that, from Giuliani, that he's trying his case in the court of public opinion, but he's trying it so badly and so frequently acting like a guy who just wandered out of a Blarney Stone about 2 o'clock in the morning. Do you believe he honestly believes that two things? One, that he's winning the case in the court of public opinion and that his client is thrilled with him.
I think they both think that he's winning in the court of public opinion. And I think they're wrong about that. know, Donald Trump lives in a make-believe world that he has constructed. I mean, this guy is delusional in many respects. I firmly believe that that delusion extends to the job that Rudy Giuliani is allegedly doing in the press, in the public court of public opinion, trying to convince people that the Mueller investigation is a witch hunt, et cetera. And I think that Rudy Giuliani also believes he's doing a great job. Otherwise, I don't know why he would continue to go on television.
Michael, what would have to happen for you to never get the opportunity to depose Donald J. Trump?
There's a number of things that could happen. I think the court could rule against us in our efforts to take Michael Cohen's deposition and Donald Trump's deposition, although I think that's unlikely. I think the likeliness of us getting Michael Cohen's deposition is close to 100%. I think the likeliness of us getting Donald Trump's deposition is better than 50%, certainly. And it went up exponentially last week. But you know, this is a very dynamic situation. A lot of things can happen. There's no certainties under the law. That's true in any case. It's certainly true in this case. But again, I like our chances, and I can assure everyone, and I think everyone that's paying attention knows that one of the last things in the world Donald Trump wants is to be sitting across a conference table from me while I'm asking him questions under oath.
We're talking to Michael Avenatti. Got a few minutes left with Michael on the Mike Lupica podcast. Michael, this may be an odd question, but I actually don't think it is, because you have had a unique view of where we are in this country from inside the barrel now for nearly 6 months. And so has your client, but in a way, because you have been out front with this, so have you. And my question is this. What has surprised you the most about this experience?
The complete lack of legal competence on the other side. You know, Donald Trump promised the American people that he was going to hire and surround himself with the best and the brightest. And we got Michael Cohen and Rudy Giuliani. How did that happen?
And you know, there's other guys involved in this that I'm frankly surprised about. I don't know Emmett Flood, but Michael, what's in it for Emmett Flood at this point to become a part of this circus?
Well, there's a certain prestige, even if the president is Donald Trump, there's a certain prestige that comes from being involved in representing the president of the United States, regardless of the circumstances. And what's amazing to me is, and that prestige, Mike, cannot be overstated within legal circles. I mean, that's a big feather in one's cap to be in such a role. What's amazing to me is that despite that extreme level of prestige, Donald Trump still can't attract the number of high-quality individuals that any other president in modern times could have attracted to surround himself with. And that's what's amazing to me. I mean, normally, the finest attorneys in the country would be knocking down the door of the White House to have an opportunity to represent the president or be involved in an investigation or these legal matters. And that's just not happening. And that should tell people everything they need to know about whether professionals view Donald Trump as an individual that they want to represent.
All right. Let me conclude with this question, Michael, because I've been thinking about this for a while. Let's go back in the Wayback Machine, okay? And the day before Stormy Daniels takes you on as her attorney, the president of the United States calls you, and he's become aware of your work, and he's found out some of the David versus Goliath stuff, and he thinks that, wow, maybe he can do Goliath versus David too. And he said, there's this adult film star who's going to come forward with this accusation, and you know what? I'm in a world of trouble because I did pay her off. Would you represent me? Would you have represented the president of the United States?
Not a chance. Not this president. There's no way, Mike. There's not enough money. There's not enough pee tapes in the world for me to have agreed to represent Donald Trump. I don't respect him. I think he's in way over his head. I don't think he's particularly smart. I don't think he's particularly strategic when it comes to things like this. He obviously does not listen to the people that he surrounds himself with. He runs off half-cocked, does what he wants to do. And I mean, he's a walking He's a walking disaster. I mean, it's just one disaster after another, Mike. And so the answer would have been no, thank you. That would probably be the best answer that I could have given at the time.
Let me ask you one more question. I always lie when I say I'm asking you the last question, but let me ask you this question, Michael. What is the greatest danger you believe the 45th president presents to the United States of America at this time, going into Labor Day weekend of 2018, nearly 2 years into his presidency?
I think the biggest danger is he has no respect for the rule of law. He has no respect for the Constitution and the fundamental values and principles upon which this nation was founded. And I think that before he would resign or go quietly in the night, I think he just as soon burn the Republic to the ground. And that's very disturbing.
All right. One sports question. Are you surprised? I know you're pleased by the little run that the St. Louis Cardinals have made since they changed managers. Do you believe they are now going to make the postseason?
I think they've got a hell of a shot. I have been very pleased with the run, but as you know, it's all about momentum and when you catch fire. And that's true, I think, in sports and politics.
Michael Avenatti, it's been great getting to know you. It has been really fun watching this thing play out. And I have a feeling, give me a time frame when the next surprise might come from the Avenatti Stormy Daniels partnership.
I think within the next 2 weeks.
Okay, that's all I have to know. Michael, thank you for doing this. Good luck, man.
All right, buddy.
Anybody who listens
to
this podcast. No, it's Michael, you make it fun, but anybody who listens to this podcast know that this is the kind of guests we get. Michael has been generous enough to do this twice. Please keep listening. Please keep subscribing. If you want to leave a comment about anything Mr. Avenatti or I said today, please do it. We'll check it out, and we'll try to be better, and I'll talk to you next week, everybody.
The Mike Lupica Podcast is produced and distributed by Compass Media Networks in conjunction with Hiltzik Creative. For iPhone users, go to the podcast app and search the Mike Lupica Podcast. Click on the Mike Lupica Podcast icon and subscribe. For non-iPhone users, you can listen on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, or your preferred podcast platform.